No, it's 8 o'clock. I'm actually one of those times that I'm actually on time. I'm going to give it a couple minutes until everyone comes in the stream. Let me just pull up while I do that. I'll just pull up the chat. And just type to anyone that's out there. Like I said, just give me a couple minutes. But you know what? It's been exactly a month. I'll tell when I start. I'll tell everyone what I think is going on here and what I think I can do. I'll just give it one more minute. Not even a minute. I'm looking up at the time there. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm going to try to keep it all within 1 hour. Don't know if I'll be able to do that, but I'll do my best. It's a big show, though. Okay, you know what? I mean, no sense waiting. I might as well start now than wait too long. Yeah, it's already been 2 minutes. So, okay, let's start. Welcome to the Regen Podcast, Regen Nation Podcast. Folks, thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. Another month has gone by, and I was just, before I went live, I was actually saying to myself or to whoever else was watching that I think I figured out a way to do this every month on a Wednesday, every 4 weeks from today. So unless plans get changed, I should be able to do this 4 weeks from today on a Wednesday. So I guess if I pick up my phone, looking at it here, next, and this is tentative, keep in mind, you know the way, if you've been listening or watching me for any length of time, you know my track record, I guess you could say. But if all goes well, the next show should come out, well, will be taped and filmed live on May 10th for all the YouTube people. And then the audio listeners, it'll be that following weekend, which would probably be the 12th or 13th, depending on how it gets streamed out to all the podcasts, all the audio podcast stuff. I've got Tubes 2000, and then your name else, something else is cut off. It says, are you solo tonight? Yes, I am solo again tonight. Enjoying this, enjoying not having to bother people. And we'll get it done. Let me know in the comments, actually, if you like guests or you like solo or if you just don't care at all. I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know. But like I said, we've got a packed show, a lot of stuff, a lot of Tesla stuff, some Rivian stuff, and just some other EV stuff. And I'm going to try to keep this all within an hour show. So I might as well get started right away. It is 4 minutes into it. So yeah, roughly 4 minutes. Thanks for replying there, 2000 Tubes guests. So yeah, we'll work on that and getting some guests on, some interesting guests for you guys. let's just start with the first topic. It's going to be exactly what the podcast is titled, and it's Tesla lowers the price in North America all around. And they also added, finally, officially, the 4680 Model Y to the Design Studio, at least in the U.S. I mean, it'll eventually come to Canada. When, I'm not sure. But this article is brought to you by Drive Tesla Canada. If we scroll down, now this happened last week, so in case you've been living under a rock and you're not sure, we'll scroll down and I'll give you the breakdown. Darren was able to do a cool breakdown here, a list of everything. We'll start with the U.S. and then I'll go back up to show you the Canadian ones. So in the U.S., the Model S, the dual motor all-wheel drive, went from basically 90, it went down 5,000 to 85. So remember when the refresh Model S first came out and the X, how expensive they were, the price bump? And now, I mean, I think it was at one point in the U.S., I want to say 115, 120. And now it's down to 85. The Plaid went from 110, another $5,000 off, just like the regular long range one, down to 105. So now you can get a Plaid for 105,000. It's incredible. Model 3, the rear wheel drive, just a regular Model 3, had a $1,000 price break, went from 43 to 42. The long range still not available to order. So that didn't change or anything. The performance went down also $1,000 from 54 to 53 US. The Model X, same as the Model S, the dual motor went from 100 to 95, and the Plaid Model X went from 110 to 105. So also incredible pricing for that. I mean, I wish it would come down a little bit more. The X is such an amazing car, but it's so pricey. The Model Y, now here's where the biggest changes, I think, happened. The Model Y, let's start with the long range. It went down 2,000, and the performance too. So the long range and the performance went down. The long range went from 55 to 53, $2,000, and the performance went from 59 to about 57, which is also 2,000. But they added, and it says, if you're watching at home on the YouTube thing, it says rear wheel. I think that was just a little typo. It is an all-wheel drive, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a 4680 battery pack, the one from Texas. When it was off menu and you could get it, it was about 52. Now it's gone down to 50. So 50, and then you get the tax break from the IRA tax break. That brings it into the 40s, folks. That's an amazing price for. Now, I know what you're saying, and this is what basically what I said. It's basically a car that you're getting 80, I think it's 80 miles or 50 miles, 50 miles or 80 miles, I forget, either or, less range for the difference of really, at the end of the day, difference of $3,000. So if the 3,000 means a lot to you and you need to, then yeah. Yeah, I know someone's saying, I wish it was on par. Well, let's look at the Canadian ones. Let's scroll back up and look at what happened in Canada. So the Model S, now these are Canadian prices. I'll reiterate again. Model S in Canada, the all-wheel drive went down 6,000. So it went from 123 to 117. The Plaid went from a whopping 150 to 144. I guess, you know, $6,000 is not bad. The Model 3 in Canada didn't change at all. The X, all-wheel drive X, went down 5,000. We went from 136 to 131. And the Plaid went down 6,000. Now, it's weird how the regular one went down 5, but the Plaid went down 6. Anyways, the Plaid here in Canada is now 144,000. It went from 150. And also the Y never changed too here in Canada. So I wish it did. And this is what in the chat, 2000 Tubes was wishing. That the Canada did the same thing. And you know what? They may at one point. I have a feeling there's more pricing changes to come. I don't think we've seen the end of it. That's the beauty with Tesla. Now, people may say, you know what? It's a demand problem and they're losing their shirt, or it's going to be bad for investors because now their profits have gone down and stuff like that. Because it's a demand problem. But you know what? Tesla's in a position, I believe anyways, Tesla's in such a good position that they could do this and not be affected too much. That's the beauty with Tesla in bringing down the prices. And you know what? Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it forces sometimes, not all manufacturers, because we've heard some manufacturers say, yeah, you know, we're not getting into this price war. We're not changing our prices. But for the most part, it's forcing other EV makers to, you know, change their stuff, their pricing. Moving on to the next topic. Yeah, good margins. Yeah. Yeah, the margins are still pretty good. So we'll see what happens there. The earnings call, I think, is in 2 weeks, to either next week or the week after. So we'll see what happens there. The next topic up for grabs is Tesla's release a significant update that'll improve and customize a lot of the controls in the next software update. The next software update is going to be 23.12. Now, don't be surprised if you see a 12.1 or 12.2 in there by the time it comes to us, because right now it's just, I wouldn't say beta, but it's in with the employees right now. And this was as of a few days ago, April 10th, brought to us by Drive Tesla Canada again. So let me, all this stuff came from TeslaScope. TeslaScope is able to track the software, and this is what they found so far. Let me just go through the list of things in this update. Text size adjustments now. So now we can adjust the text size, which is great. People like me that are blind wearing glasses, in the odd chance that I don't have my glasses and I'm driving, I don't need my glasses to drive, but to read. It's great to know that I could adjust the text size and see different bigger fonts and stuff like that. I don't know how much control we'll have over it. I think it'll be just, according here, it says it's going to be a standard choice or a large text choice. And it'll be in the controls display, text size. Also, a control search. So this is good. This is something I think they've needed for a while now. Now, basically, it's just saying that when you're in the control panel, you bring up your control and the little car icon on the bottom left, it is, and brings up all the control. Instead of having to go through all the different tabs and to find what you're looking for, it'll have a search feature, probably a little window near the top or something like that, and you can just type in what you want to find, and it'll direct you right to it. So I think that's a great feature, something that's probably, I never even thought about it, but you know, it's well needed, and I think it'll be good. Points of interest. Now, this is just Tesla, doubling down on their navigation. I think it's good. I know some people think the Tesla navigation isn't good compared to Google Maps or Waze and stuff like that. And yeah, okay, they've got, you know, some work to do when it comes to those ones. But compared to a lot of these onboard navigation systems by different manufacturers, Tesla's doing a lot better. I've heard a lot of complaints of Rivian's mapping software and how it's horrible. So, you know, Tesla's good, but they're getting better. So with this points of interest now it's going to bring up photos and different information about those points of interest. So a lot better than what it used to. Like, so if you're at like a supercharger and it says it's got food or washrooms, now it's gonna, in those points of interest around the supercharger, now you'll be able to click on it and it'll bring up so I guess sort of like Google Maps, how you points of interest in Google Maps, it shows photos and stuff like that and reviews and things like that. So that'll be good, well needed. Once again, something that I never thought of, but will be welcome for sure. Scroll wheel customization. So the left scroll wheel, now they're going to customize it. You're going to be able to have some default and then, like, I think four or five different settings. And some of the examples here is you can, from the scroll wheel, you'll be able to program it so you can adjust the brightness, the acceleration mode, the camera app, opening the glove box, saving dash cam footage, stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. Once again, something I never thought of. And I don't know if this was asked by someone on Twitter and Elon said yes, and it's a long awaited, but regardless, it's good to have. Also, some other features that are in there is gear chime. So now when you shift gears, it'll also chime. I know some people want less chimes. So I don't know if this will be something that you can toggle on or off, I'm hoping. Passenger seat controls for the Model S and X in the rear, that rear touchscreen. Now you'll be able to adjust the seats of the passenger. So I guess if you need to get out and or they're in the way and your feet are crushed or something because they're all the way back, now from the convenience of the back seat, the rear screen, you can control it, which is pretty good. Some aftermarket companies have tried to do that. I know Hanshow had their rear screen and they had controls that you can control the passenger seat too with that, and you have to tap into it. I looked at it and I didn't want to screw around with any wiring for the seats and stuff like that. And then get to know, another feature here is get to know your Tesla. So basics, which is something that I run these Facebook groups for the Model 3 and the Model Y, and I don't blame the people asking these questions because they're uninformed. They don't get the proper, you know, information when they're in the when they're getting their car on delivery day, like they used to back in the day. Tesla used to go over with you for like 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, and go over it with you. Now they don't. They hand you the keys, they take your money, and tell you to look over the car. And within, I think, 48 hours or 24 hours, if there's any damage or anything not working, you report it to them and they'll fix it. So this is good. If they can get some kind of system in there that, you know, it'll educate you on how to work things. Like I said, in my Facebook groups, I see some questions that, yeah, some other members in the group laugh at. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm guilty at times too for laughing at it. But then I quickly realized that, you know what, you can't blame these people. It's a very high-tech car, and it's got a lot of gadgets and stuff ahead, and we're not expected to know everything. Also, just rounding off the features on this, they're bringing Zoom to more countries and stuff like that. And voice recognition languages. Now they have the British language with thick accents, I guess, that they weren't able to detect in the past. Now they're able to detect it, so that's good. So it's a feature. It's a software update that I'm looking forward to. They have some nice features coming up there, and that's hopefully, you know, just in a few weeks. Hopefully, looking at Officer Dibley, London, Ontario, says hi. I'm just going through some of the, I don't want to miss. If you guys have any questions, leave it down in the chat and I'll try to look at the chat and try to keep up with it. Officer Dibley, we ordered a Y Performance this past weekend and it's set to be coming April or May. Congratulations. So, you know, it's only a few weeks away. Like, I mean, get ready, get all your stuff in order if you haven't already. It's exciting times. It's your first Tesla, hopefully. It's Dave. Dave. Officer Dave. Congratulations, Dave. you know my buddy, Cyril Tesla Tech. we don't talk about, we don't use the C word in this podcast. I'm kidding. It's Cyril. The C word is Cyril. And I'm just kidding. Cyril's a good buddy of mine. I just like, I like busting his chops every now and then. Congratulations, Dave. Hopefully you get it soon and don't let Cyril touch it for the first little while, at least, because it's brand new. You won't need to, if there's any problems, warranty. But after some time you can let Cyril touch it. Okay. Moving on to the next topic. Is this the next one? Yeah, sure. Why not? We'll do this one. Switching away from Tesla for a little bit. Now we'll come right back. Don't worry. Other EVs, because that's what this new channel, Regen Nation, is all about. Mostly Tesla, but I want to talk about all EVs. So Rivian recalls over 5,000 R1Ss, the SUV, in case anyone doesn't know, it's the SUV version. The R1T is the truck version. The R1S is this SUV. Because of their backup lights, they don't meet federal requirements in the US, I guess. So the NHTSA, or NHTSA, I think is how most people say it, say about 5,000, just over 5,000. Wow, I can't believe they've made 5,000 cars already. They started making the R1S probably about 6 months now, they're saying here. And anyways, about just over 5,000 vehicles are impacted by this recall. What they say is wrong is the backup lights, like the white backup lights. When you put any vehicle in reverse, the white lights come on. They don't meet federal requirements for visibility. So they're saying from certain angles, you can't see it, or you can't see it well enough. And NHTSA doesn't like that. So they're recalling them, and I guess they're going to have to put either change the design of taillights, which I can't see them doing, probably just put brighter bulbs in there, or maybe it's a software thing. Who knows? Maybe they can do it where they can up the brightness just in software, just like Tesla can in many of their recalls. I'm using air quotes here. So they'll get it fixed, whatever it is. But I'm other than the recall, I'm quite impressed that they've made 5,000 already. That's impressive. Moving right along, I just wanted to touch on that one quickly. There's not much to go over. Let me see what's on my next agenda here. Oh, okay. So this came out today, and they were supposed to announce it today. I don't know as of recording this, which is Wednesday, April 12th. I don't know if they actually did. I don't think they did, but if they haven't announced it today, they will be soon. But Electric got a scoop. So this article is from Electric that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Act in this in the US, is releasing new emission rules. In a nutshell, 60% of EVs they're expecting to be, or not expecting, they want, this is a rule, this is a rule that they want to pass in the US, that 60% of cars are EVs by 2030. It's 2023, so we're looking at, like, you know, and we're almost halfway there. So we're looking at just over 6.5 years away. They want 60% of vehicles to be EVs to save trillions of dollars. That's what they say. But the other catch to that is by 2032, just 2 years after that, they want an extra 7%. So they want from now to 6.5 years from now, they want a 60% number. I forget what the number is now. I think it's in the low teens, I think. So they've got 6.5 years to bring that up to 60%, and then just 2 years after that, just another 7%. I don't know if that's too low or too high for those 2 years. I don't know. But the interesting thing about this in this article is that the Biden administration, they wanted to have it just be 50% by 2030. And EPA, I guess, is saying, nope, you know what? We can better that. I think, or they think they can do it by 60%. So we'll wait to see what happens. I mean, a lot of these governments come out. I know. Oh, I just went bright for some reason. I don't know why. I know a lot of these governments come out and they say, or not even governments, even sometimes legacy automakers come out and say, we want this by, and 2030 seems to be the popular date or year for some reason. But they come out and they say, we want this, we want that. And they throw out all these numbers, but are they really attainable? I don't know. I mean, the legacy automakers do that, the governments do that around the world. We'll have to wait and see. I guess 2030, there'll be a lot of changes if all these manufacturers and all these governments are supposed to expect all these changes. It'll be a very interesting year, let's just say. So yeah, Tubes 2000 says in the chat, yeah, it won't be as easy. Yeah, it won't be at all. Moving right along, let's close that one out. We're flying through these tonight, folks, which is good. Gives us more time to chat about other stuff. Keeping on the electric bandwagon here, another article from Electric Band from the site Electric. It's an exclusive, apparently. This came out today that they said Tesla is about to launch the Powerwall 3, which, no, that's pretty exclusive. I mean, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard anyone else talking about it. So they break it down here. They just give a little history that 2015 is when Tesla launched their energy division and when they launched their very first Gen 1 Powerwall. And then Powerwall 2 shortly came afterwards, and it was a different battery pack. It was more squared off and stuff like that. And then here in 2021, Tesla launched a Powerwall Plus, which included new inverters and high power outlets and stuff like that, or output and stuff like that. And right now, the production, they're saying right now, the production is about 4,000 units per week, which is not pretty good. It's not bad. I mean, it is pretty good. It's not bad, is what I'm trying to say. But they're saying, and they hinted towards this last year, that they hinted that they were doing something, and they had one of these, if you're watching it on the screen, they had one of these cards where they showed 2020, 2021, and then they had 2022, and they had, just like how they do their cars, when they don't want people to know or see it, they put a little curtain, or they drape a cloth over top of it. And the only thing that we know is three things, is, and that's not much, but then, because these three things are pretty much expected, I would think. Easier installation, better aesthetics, so it's going to look better. I mean, it's a flat square. I don't know how better it's going to look unless they can make it like smoothed off and oval shaped or smaller. I don't know how they're going to make better aesthetics, but you know, I mean, it didn't look bad to begin with, is what I'm saying. So to say it's going to be better, it's going to be good. And higher performance, which I would expect if it's a Powerwall 3 and it's another advancement, that yeah, that the performance is going to be better. So that's all we have. We have no numbers, no dates or anything. It just expected to be soon. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it'll be more capacity than the current ones. And hopefully they can bring the price down, because I don't know what it is in the States, but I think here in Canada it's like 10 grand for a Powerwall. And it's pretty pricey. So hopefully they can get a little bit better pricing on it. Why no drop in Canada? Yeah, I don't know, Tubes 2000. But let's move on. We're flying through these. This show may be like 45 minutes, literally. Actually, no, this show may be half an hour, which, you know what? If it's half an hour, I'll give you guys a break from me, because if I'm going to be doing this every month religiously on a Wednesday like this, then yeah, you may need a break from me. Moving on to the next topic. And this should be no surprise to anyone. Tom Zhu, he's been promoted again. Now he's the senior vice president of automotive, which is pretty high up there. Apparently, he's now with Bagliano. He's with Zach. He's not with Elon. But some people are saying that he is the next guy to possibly take over Elon's position. If Elon ever was to step down, they're saying this guy, Tom, would be a perfect candidate. And you know what? Up to last week, I would say yes. But last week, they announced that what's-his-face is coming back, JB. Now, if JB comes back, now coming back as a board member, because one of the board members is stepping down and not renewing his seat, I guess, on the board. So apparently JB was nominated, and it's a shoo-in. I mean, for him to think that he won't get it to be on the board is, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's other candidates that are probably going for the seat, but JB's going to get it. If he doesn't, I'd be really, really surprised. And with him on the board, now puts him back into Tesla, to say that if Elon was ever to step down or anything was to happen to Elon, I think JB would have it hands down. But I mean, some people still think Tom could be a either one of those two guys, I think, would do a good job. So anyone that's not familiar with Tom Zhu, he joined the company in 2014 when he did different things when the Shanghai factory was first opening up. And then he became the company's export. I don't know, where is it here? He basically ran that place. He's 43 years old. And just last year, he was transferred from China to Austin to assist with the ramp of Giga Texas. And apparently, he's going to be doing Giga Mexico too. So this guy knows how to bring factories up and running and get them built. If it's anything in regards to a construction or ramping up, Tom knows how to do it. That's why I think a lot of people are saying that he can, or maybe the next CEO, that successor to Elon, if anything ever was to happen, or if Elon was to step down. So that's an interesting news. Tom, he's now up there with I think like the top four guys in Tesla. He's now up there. Okay, we got one more article, and where is it? Right down here. Okay, and I just put this one in at the last minute. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it happened a few weeks ago. It happened a few days ago, I think last week sometime, but we might as well talk about it. So it came out by Reuters, and Reuters, I don't know, Reuters lately has been, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, they were once pro Tesla, and they wrote articles about Tesla, which was fine and stuff, and they were critical when needed, but they were praised. They praised them too. Now it seems a lot of the articles coming out by Reuters is very anti-Tesla, very negative towards Tesla. Not to say if they have a scoop and they have information that they shouldn't post it just because it's negative. I'm not saying that, but they talked about this privacy scandal where basically there was what, I think half a dozen or 9 or 10 ex-employees. And I remember that's the key thing here. There were ex-employees that broke the news that the employees would get video footage or still photos and stuff like that of owners or drivers or drivers' families and stuff like that. And if they were in, you know, compromising predicaments or doing stupid things or doing silly things, doing whatever things that they would find interesting, they would share it around the office amongst other employees. And they're saying some of the videos were very, very private. In this article here, they say some pictures included dogs, funny road signs, other content that just happened to be nothing. But then there were other ones of inside people's garages, owners' children's, like I said. They said even a video of a man approaching a vehicle naked. I don't know if he was an owner or not, but you know, if he's just someone on the street, then so be it. I mean, a dash cam, a security camera can pick that up. I didn't really think a big deal about this. And I know I talked to some of my Tesla friends, and it's like, you know what? We knew the camera was there. Yeah, Tesla might have said that they don't do anything. And I know that just recently they put out some thing on YouTube talking about privacy and how they don't release this information to people. Now, this article talked about these ex-employees that happened, I think, many months ago, if not years ago. So that could be separated from what Tesla is doing now in today's, you know, about this kind of stuff. So I don't know. Like I said, when it comes to privacy, I don't expect any. And if I wanted privacy in my car, if I cared about who's looking at me in my car, I would just take a piece of tape and put it over the camera. Me personally, and everyone should know that it's there. And if you don't, then I don't know. I mean, I think it's on you if you don't know it's there. And if you're going to do compromising things or embarrassing things, then I think you need to know that the cameras are now. Is it right? I know what you're saying. Is it right for these people to be quote unquote spying on you? I don't know. No, it isn't. Obviously, I shouldn't. I don't know. It isn't right for them to do it, but. Is it going to happen as human beings? Yes, it's going to happen. I think it's going to be. Maybe I'm too much of a realist and I understand that's going to happen, whereas some other people expect it not to happen. I don't know. The way I look at it, we have one of the most advanced technological cars in the world with cameras everywhere. Do I expect any privacy in 2023 when I walk out of my house? I know I'm being recorded everywhere. At work, I'm being recorded everywhere. Everywhere I go, I'm being recorded in 2023. Do I expect any privacy? I go online. I'm talking to you guys. I expect some privacy. I mean, that's why I don't put my address and stuff like that. I get that. But, you know, online, the best part, I find it very funny, and I see it all the time. I find it rich when people go on Facebook and they complain about privacy. And I see it. Like I said, I see it. Facebook is one of the worst places, or anywhere on the internet for that matter, but especially Facebook, one of the worst places you should complain about your privacy, in my opinion. Let me just look at what people are saying in the chat here. Tesla will have to settle on this lawsuit. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't even get to the lawsuit in this article. So what I was just giving you the background of what's going on. That happened a few days ago last week. And then within days, literally within days, this is the US for you. Someone, or Tesla's being sued. It's a class action lawsuit. And it, of course, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. Does it say who's suing it? There's a person's name. The suit claims that the company violated California's state constitution. Of course, it's from California. California privacy laws and its own privacy policies. It also claims that Tesla misled customers about data privacy. It asked for Tesla to be enjoined from the continuation of this behavior and seeks the recovery of actual and punitive damages. I'm trying to see where it's $5,000, $5 million, sorry, not 5,000, $5 million. So the damages sought is in excess of $5 million. So, you know, class actions, at the end of the day, the only person in these class action suits that gets rich is the lawyers, in my opinion, because when it's split, because I think in the States, to have a class action, you need to have a certain amount of complainants. And at the end of the day, they all get the money gets divvied up after the lawyers get their amount. It gets divvied up. And then I think out of this $5 million, I'd be happy if anybody gets more than $500, in my opinion. Or maybe $50 to get a check for $50. What's Tony saying here? Tony's saying, let me just put your stuff on here. Oh, wasn't the main issue that some employees were sharing these videos, photos, and making memes on the companies? Yeah, I heard that too. I don't know if that's the main issue, but I heard that they were turning them into memes and stuff like that. You know, people are going to do that. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm not surprised at the end of the day too. I shouldn't laugh, but class action lawsuit. I mean, that is no surprise. That is not, I'm not surprised. I don't know if I'm back live or not. It says I'm live. So I don't know what happened. I just was talking and then it went away. So hopefully I'm back live. Let me know in the chat, guys, if I am back or if I'm not, because I'm not sure. Let me see. I think I am. I think I am live. Okay. So that's good to know that I'm back. I don't know what happened there. I apologize. But I'm going to have to do some editing for the audio portion of it. I apologize. So, yeah, we were saying I'm not surprised that there is a class action lawsuit. But at the same time, I am surprised because, no, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Okay, let me see if I can pull up. I had some, those are all the topics. Sorry, that little technical glitch there when we lost the signal sort of messed me up and threw me for a loop. So let me see if I can pull up what I was gonna talk about afterwards. Yeah, okay. So those are all the topics. But you know what? What I usually do on this show is at the end of it, I talk about what's happened to me or any of the guests that are on in the last little while. And that's you know, Tesla related or EV related. So for anyone that doesn't know, and I've got the screen up here right now. I have a reservation for a Rivian. Sorry. I pause there because I'm trying to read the chat at the same time. I have a reservation for a Rivian since last year, and I'm not expecting it anytime soon because I wasn't one of the early people. And I'm up here in Canada, and I think if they've started, they haven't started much here in Canada, at least here in Ontario where I am. They don't even have a sales center, so there's no deliveries here. I think there's a handful out west in BC. So I'm waiting, and every now and then I get these emails. I know that they aren't emails about, you know, get ready to configure and get your money ready because we're delivering soon. It's just like these Rivian emails about just random stuff, generic emails. But anyways, yesterday I got this one email. It said it was titled "A Friendly Reminder Regarding No Tonneau Cover." Now, a tonneau cover is the cover that retracts back. You see it on the Cybertruck. It has that one where Elon can stand on it. Rivian has one too, and they've had a lot of trouble with it, so much so that they've actually stopped making them, and they're making a manual one. So anyways, I can I didn't even configure, but I said I put a reservation in and I gave my money last year for R1T, the truck. But I don't remember making any kind of configurations or anything like that. So when I saw this email, it confused me. It said, we noticed you chose a no tonneau cover in your configuration. Like I said, that's what confused me because I don't remember even making or having a configuration. It was just, which battery pack do you want? Which one do you want? I think I picked the color maybe. I can't remember even if I picked the color. They gave me no price or anything. So it was very vague. It says, please note, let me continue here. It says, please note, vehicles configured with no tonneau cover will not include integrated side rails and will not be compatible with the manual tonneau cover. Well, I didn't even know they're coming out with a manual one, but it makes sense. I thought they were re-engineering a new automatic one, but it sounds like they're doing a manual one, which probably better or probably good enough until maybe they can design an automatic one that works better. So maybe this is just like a, you know, a stopgap or a little patch until they do it. If you would like, and it continues, says, if you would like lockable bed storage, then we suggest you reconfigure to the manual tonneau cover, and then has a button where you can click on it. I didn't click on it. I know the email, I was pretty sure the email was from Rivian, but whenever there's a button, never click on it. Go to the page yourself, folks. Too many phishing emails out there to take that chance. So I went, logged on, and I couldn't configure anything. So I never thought anything of it. Then, let me see if I can get the next email I got the next day, the same day, later on in the day, I got this email. Where is it? Okay. I got this email. Now, I'm only showing it because I think it's pretty funny. Disregard the recent tonneau update. That was the title of that email. It said, apologies. Last update on your tonneau cover wasn't intended for you. Well, you said my name. Who was it intended for? We understand you haven't been invited to configure yet. No, I haven't. And that's probably why the configuration button was grayed out when I went on the website. The email continues to say, we'll invite you to configure your R1T once we're confident we can deliver your vehicle within 1 to 4 months and have delivery and service support in your area. So, okay, so that's what I was saying. There's nothing set up here in Ontario. There is slated to be a sales and service center north of the GTA in the Vaughan area, I was told. But nothing's happened yet. So yeah, so I'm not surprised that they can't deliver my car within 1 to 4 months because there's nothing even ready or even any support. So I find it funny. The only reason I'm showing it because it was a little humorous. I reached out to Darren from Drive Tesla Canada because I know he keeps on top of these things. So I asked him, like, have you ever seen this before? So I found it funny, but then, you know, I showed some of my other friends, and some of my other friends were complaining, saying, you know what, this is typical Rivian. They can't get their crap together. And how are they supposed to be selling cars and getting production better and bringing the cost down so they can become profitable when they're messing up emails and stuff like that? I mean, I see both sides of it. I see their side, but I also see the side that, you know, mistakes happen. So I just thought it was funny, but yeah, I get it. Mistakes sometimes happen. I got a whimsical, and see, it cuts off. I can't see your full name here. You know what? If I put it on the stream, maybe whimsical thought. Okay, that's how. Hi, Dax. Right to say thank you. Your video helped me educate on servicing the brakes on my Model 3. If not, I would have totally ignored and would have eventually tend only when something's wrong. Oh, you're totally welcome, whimsical. I mean, hey, listen, I only put it out there. This is a video I guess I must have done last year, if I remember correctly, or the year before. I put it out there because I didn't know myself. And I thought, just like many people, and I see it in my Facebook groups all the time, people say, you know what, with regen braking, you never have to change your brakes. And or there's some articles out there that have Model S's that have 500,000 kilometers on or 500,000 miles on it, and they've never changed their brakes. Yeah, granted, they may not have, but you still, what I learned is you still have to service your brakes. You still have to have them cleaned. You still have them lubed and make sure that they're in good mechanical order, especially your brakes. Your brakes are one of the safety things on your vehicle, right? And I learned this because like many people new to EVs or even old EVs that have had EVs for a while, they think, you know, with regen braking, you never have. Am I caught out again? I don't know what's going on tonight. hopefully I didn't lose you. The screen did go black and I don't know why. But what I was saying is even more so what I realized for an EV, because when you're not using the brakes and regen's kicking in and the motor's slowing the car down and stuff like that, and your physical actual brakes aren't being used, those brakes are just sitting there dormant. So I know some people say once a month, just hammer the brakes really hard to lube them up and stuff like that. But apparently that doesn't always work sufficiently, that you should get it serviced at least once a year. Okay, at least once every 2 years, but preferably once every year. So what I would say is once every 18 months, just to be safe. And that's not a big job. I mean, you're not changing the brakes, you're not changing the pads, you're not changing the rotors or anything like that. You're just, A, you're getting an inspection to make sure everything's working. But then you also, on top of it, you're looking at the, I think the Cyril knows. Cyril's the one that did it for me, and he's the one that educated me on the little rods or something like that, or little pins. I think they're called pins. Pins to make sure that those aren't seized, because apparently when the calipers don't get a lot of use, those seize up after a while, and that's what you don't want. And they're supposed to be able to come in and out easy when you take them out. You're supposed to be able to take them out easy. You don't have to bend them or break them off or stuff like that. Don't take what I'm saying here as mechanical advice. All I'm saying is the only advice I would say to you is get your brakes inspected once a year, once every year and a half. It doesn't hurt. Just because you're not using them, that doesn't mean you don't need to get them looked at. Yeah, your pads will be fine. Like I said, your rotors will be fine. But the other things that make the brakes work when you do need them, those are what you need to maintain and get serviced. So, and I think what it's most places, and the good thing is you don't have to take it to Tesla. Tesla brakes are like any other car's brakes. So you could take it to any brake shop, any mechanic shop. They should be able to look at it, no problem. They're not touching the battery. They're not touching any of the high voltage stuff. They're just looking at the brakes. And anyone can do a brake job as far as I was told. So get your brakes on. Pins. That's the Tony's saying they're pins. Yeah, they're pins. Thanks, Tony. So thanks, Whimsical. I'm glad it worked out for you. And that's my little public service message to end off this podcast with to anyone. Get your brakes looked at. And I don't want to sound preachy, so I'll just leave it at that. Get your brakes looked at, especially if you haven't in a long time. And I know a lot of friends in the Tesla community that haven't had their brakes looked at in a long time and probably should. anyways, thanks, folks. Thanks very much for joining me in tonight's podcast. This is a record podcast. We're at 50 minutes. Probably even be shorter for the audio portion of it. And I don't know if that's including the downtime I had. I apologize for that. That's never happened. And I think I've done close to 60 or 70 podcasts to date, and that's never happened. But, you know, this is what happens when you're live sometimes. If I pre-recorded it, you would never know. I would polish it up and make it all fancy and everything. But I like going live sometimes. I mean, most times. I think out of all these, I think I've only pre-recorded. And it was, I think it was at the very beginning of when I started podcasting. I think episode 2 or 3 or maybe even 1. No, 1 was live. I think maybe 2 or 3 might have been pre-recorded. I think we did 1 in a car that was pre-recorded. It wasn't live, but it was just all in one take. We didn't have to edit it much with Franklin. So these are things that happens when you go live, when you risk it, I guess, or you're doing it live, and that's what happens. Just like as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm stumbling my words and stuff. It's the beauty of being live, and you guys get to see it just as I do. But thanks very much. Like I said, all the people in the chat, Tony and all those guys, and Mudith and Whimsical and 2000. Thanks for joining me. If you're listening at home, thanks for joining me. And like I said, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned it. If anyone's tuning in late now and didn't hear the beginning of the show, I think I have a tentative plan that I can do this every 4 weeks on a Wednesday, midweek, sort of a midweek thing, on a Wednesday every 4 weeks. And if that works out, looking at my phone again here, the next time I can do it, because today's April 12th as of recording this, if you hear it later in an audio podcast or you watch this live stream later on YouTube, then it could be a later date, obviously, but it's April 12th. And if I go 4 weeks from now, it will be May 10th. May 10th will be the next live show. So let's just say we will see you here next episode on May 10th. Thanks for watching, folks. Take care. Bye-bye. Now I'm going to end it, and hopefully everything works.